And we mean action now.
Hi there, dear listeners of Radio Havana, Cuba. Today, we're connecting the dots between the Bells of Balangiga and the Philippine resistance to the American Empire. In 2018, a U.S. C-130 cargo plane landed at an Air Force base in Philippines, returning three significant war trophies back to the Philippines. The Filipinos had been claiming the Bells for many years. Two of the Bells had been at Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the third was with the U.S. Army in South Korea. The nascent American Empire intervened in the war Filipino insurgents had started in 1896 against the Spanish domination of Philippines. The war had been fearful, and the revolution led by the general Emilio Aguinaldo had been practically won. The Filipino insurgents fought a savage guerrilla war for 2.5 years against the troops of Spain. The insurgents got to push back the Spanish forces, where they concentrated in Manila. General Aguinaldo declared, "Divine Providence is about to place independence within our reach. The Americans, not from mercenary motives, but for the sake of humanity and the lamentations of so many persecuted people, have considered it opportune to extend their protecting mantle in our beloved country. At the present moment, an American squadron is preparing to sail to the Philippines. The Americans will attack by sea and prevent any reinforcements coming from Spain. There, where you see the American flag flying, assemble in number. They are our redeemers." In another message, he said, "Filipinos, the great nation, North America, cradle of liberty and friendly on that account to the liberty of our people, has come to manifest a protection which is disinterested towards us, considering us with sufficient civilization to govern by ourselves this our unhappy land." Not long after, the Filipino insurgents were able to push back the Spanish army, where they holed up in Manila. President McKinley sent an American naval squadron commanded by Rear Admiral Dewey, and it destroyed the Spanish fleet in the harbor of Manila. However, on signing the peace treaty of Paris between U.S. and Spain, he declared, "The future control, disposition, and government of the Philippine Islands are ceded to the United States. The military government heretofore maintained by the United States in the city, harbor, and bay of Manila is to be extended with all possible dispatch to the whole ceded territory." The Filipino revolutionaries, under the leadership of General Emilio Aguinaldo, seized control of the main island of Luzon and proclaimed the independent Philippine Republic. American troops dispatched to Manila, where they were extending a perimeter of control, fired on an approaching Filipino, killing him. During the night, there was an extensive exchange of fire between opposing lines near Santa Mesa for a distance of 2 miles. The leader, Aguinaldo, proposed a neutral zone to keep the armies apart. The American General Otis replied that the fighting must go on to the bitter end. And it did. The American forces battled the Filipinos, where some 3,000 natives were killed. This started a war that lasted until 1913. Initially, there were 40,000 American troops, and it grew to 126,000. General Aguinaldo abandoned head-on tactics and resorted to guerrilla warfare. A soldier, I.F. Adams, at the Battle of Manila, wrote, "There were 1,008 niggers and a great many wounded. We burned all their houses. I don't know how many women, men, and children the Tennessee boys did kill. They would not take any prisoners." A Republican congressman in 1909 declared, "Our soldiers took no prisoners. They kept no records. They simply swept the country, and wherever or whenever they could get hold of a Filipino, they killed him."
Now is the moment. Now is the moment. Come on.
General J.M. Bell wrote in December 1901, that he was assembling 2,500 men to search each ravine, valley, and mountain peak for insurgents and for food, expected to destroy everything outside of towns. All able-bodied men will be killed or captured. Connecting the dots, early in the morning on September 28, 1901, the residents of the small village of Balangiga, located in the Samar province, attacked the men of U.S. Army Company C, 9th U.S. Infantry, who were stationed in the area. While the Americans ate breakfast, church bells in the town began to peal. This was a signal for hundreds of Filipinos armed with machetes to attack the garrison. 48 soldiers, two-thirds of the garrison, were butchered in what is called the Balalinga Massacre. 150 of the attackers were killed. The next day, American troops retaliated, returning to Balalinga and burning the abandoned town. General Jacob H. Smith wanted to annihilate the entire civilian population of the Samar province. His orders were, "I want no prisoners. I wish you to kill and burn. The more you kill and burn, the better you will please me." He specified all the boys over 10 years of age should be killed. Some estimate that between January and March, around 8,344 Filipinos were massacred. Generally, the American commanders responded to the Filipino insurgency with the utmost brutality. Entire villages were burned and whole populations were put in concentration camps. The methods employed by the American troops against civilians in order to find insurgent arms and ammunition included torture, beating, and outright killing. The overall cost in human lives of American actions in the Philippines was horrific. One scholar states that in the 15 years that followed the defeat of the Spanish in Manila Bay in 1898, more Filipinos were killed by U.S. forces than by the Spanish in 300 years of colonization. Over 1.5 million Filipinos died out of a total population of 6 million at that time. The U.S. troops slaughtered Filipino civilians out of proportion to the conventions of formal warfare. Usually, the proportion of casualties in hostile actions may be 1 killed to 5 wounded. An official from the War Department declared that there were nearly 5 killed to 1 wounded with respect to Filipino casualties. A U.S. government committee proceedings concluded that the destruction of Filipino life during the war has been so frightful that it cannot be explained as a result of ordinary civilized warfare. That from the beginning of the war, the practice of burning native towns and villages and laying waste the country is a continuing process. That from the very early day, torture has been employed systematically to obtain information. The Filipino insurgency initially had welcomed the American intervention, thinking it would help get rid of all the Spanish colonization. Little did they suspect that they were deceived by an American empire which was in the making. The Philippines and Cuba symbolized one of the first colonial wars of the empire. Coincidentally, in the intervention, neither the insurgent Mambi troops in Cuba were allowed to enter Santiago on victory parade, just as the Filipino insurgent troops were not allowed to enter Manila once occupied by the American troops. Both countries have a similar history of colonization by the empires of Spain and United States. Connecting the dots, the Balalinga bells, which returned to the Philippines, symbolized the resistance and rebellion of the Filipinos against the American occupation and empire. It will keep ringing here in Cuba as well. Connecting the dots, this is Mike Hudson.
And we may